You're listening to the BBC World Service, and this is Culture Shock. Hello, I'm Lawrence Pollard, and welcome to a very special edition of Culture Shock. Four leading experts in the fields of technology, business, marketing, and trend prediction are here today to tell us what 2007 has in store for us. Our four prophets will give us a glimpse of the future as they tell us each what they predict will be the defining trend of the next 12 months. And without further delay, let me introduce our council of experts. With me in London is one of our best-known writers on the latest and future developments in technology, David Rowan, who you can also find writing in the pages of the London Times. Very briefly, David, what's your trend for 2007?
I'm very excited about crowdsourcing, which is like outsourcing, but using the power of online networks to make things and develop things.
Crowdsourcing coming up soon. Look forward to that. Tim Jackson is also here in London. Tim is a business entrepreneur and writer, recently selected as one of the 100 global leaders of tomorrow at the World Economic Forum in Davos, no less. In addition, business people in the new economy recently voted him one of the most important people they would like to have in their contact book. He's in ours. He's here. Tim, thanks for coming. Again, briefly, what do you think will be shaping 2007?
I think the biggest trend is going to be something which I call zombie timing. And it's exceptionally bad news for journalists because it's a trend in which people out there on the web will be checking facts of television, radio and newspapers and hauling people to account when they get them wrong.
So we could all be out of a job. Thank you, Tim. Hear more from that in a minute. And so finally, we come to Tim Jackson for our last big trend of 2007. Now, Anna's just been telling us how 2007 will become less cynical. But Tim, you're predicting we're going to grow more sceptical. You've got the best name for a trend, zombie timing. And now this goes back, I gather, to the enormous amount of argument in blogging sites and on the internet over the reporting of a rocket attack during the Lebanon War, basically whether or not a Red Cross ambulance had been hit by an Israeli rocket and if it had been reported properly by the news agencies. And so this is a story that just mushroomed and went on. And your point is that this is going to go on and grow, and it's going to become one of the big things of 2007.
Absolutely. We all know that journalists work under tremendous time pressure, like tennis players or policemen or soldiers. They have to find the right balance between doing the best job they can and getting it done in time, finishing it by the deadline. I remember the first job I had was working as a reporter in Tokyo, and my boss across the office would growl at me, "Don't get it right, get it written." The only time that a journalist, whether it's television or radio or newspaper, tends to actually be subjected to really detailed scrutiny of what he or she is doing is if there's a court case. But I believe that in a growing trend, this ultimate nightmare is actually going to become an everyday reality for journalists around the world. The oddity is, and I think what the newspapers failed to grasp, is that something has changed in the world of journalism. It used to be the case that readers decided a newspaper that they trusted and then relied on the reporter once they picked their newspaper or their television station or their radio station. Now it seems to be the case that story by story, journalists have to expect that if they're making a controversial claim, they've got to back it up with proof.
Now,
the reason I call this trend zombie timing is because the website that brought together all this information is called zombietime.com.
And do you trust bloggers more than you trust journalists?
Absolutely not. The key thing about the story is that it's not about preferring one community of people to another. It's a way, in a bit like crowdsourcing that David was talking about before, it's about the power of a large number of people, each individual experts in some microscopic field, coming together to examine something. If I'd written a report of something that happened, it would be very uncomfortable to me to find that the 10 greatest experts in the world on that particular topic happen to come and read my story and scrutinize it. Mm. And I think that's something that's going to become more and more common.
Now, how does this get bigger? Because there isn't a limitless number of bloggers reading a limited number of, you know, BBC copy or CNN copy or newspapers or so on. So how does this actually develop?
Well, I think the fascinating thing is that it's a bit like a beehive, that there's no central organizing force directing the crowd of bloggers, telling them go and focus on this story or go and focus on that story. What's happening is that thousands and an increasing number, perhaps in future even tens of thousands, of bloggers who are interested in different areas of the news will individually make decisions about what they find interesting.
How does that strike you, Mary Meehan in Minneapolis? Is this something that you can imagine happening?
Oh, absolutely. This is a really interesting development, I think. The lack of trust that has been developing for institutions, media being one of those, you know, all the corporate scandals, the government scandals, the church, you know, there is just this lack of trust out there. That lack of trust drives bloggers' needs to prove the media wrong and bust the myths and expose the lies, to, you know, be it lies or not. And they have the power and the platform now to do it.
Now, I can...
So they just don't trust something they can't see through. It's that transparency that they demand and expect, and they are going to expose it if they can't get at it. The concern would be in proving or sourcing the bloggers' claims as well.
That is
so it sounds like a lot more work for journalists to me.
David Rowan, what do you think about this? You're actively involved in newspapers at the sharp end.
Tim's right, and it's a very good thing that the invincibility of experts is being challenged. And in the Lebanon war as well, you might remember there was a Reuters photograph of smoke that was found to have been
Beirut,
manipulated.
Yes.
And I think the photographer was no longer working for Reuters after that. You have to be a bit careful. Some of the claims I saw on some of these websites in the summer were a bit conspiratorial. Mm. And just as there are various websites proving that 9/11 wasn't a terrorist attack, I think you have to be skeptical. But the important thing is this goes way beyond media now. This goes for corporations. This goes for public relations.
Tim Jackson.
I don't think we should expect to see a decline overall in the trust of journalists. I think journalists are no more and no less perfect than investment bankers or policemen or sports stars. What I think it's about is transferring people's allegiance from the brand of a publisher to an individual reporter. And I think that we will come to know increasingly in detail which individual reporters can be relied on. And therefore, I think the key trend is that journalists are going to have to be exceptionally careful in making it clear whether they're reporting something that somebody claims or whether they are themselves asserting that it's true.